The National Broadcasting Company presents Great Plays. Had you lived in the city of Chester, England, between the years of 1490 and 1585, these tidings by the town crier would inform you that on next Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you'd see the Nativity pageants, 24 in number. Today we present the two best-known Nativity pageants of that era, the Second Shepherd's Play and the Wakefield Nativity, both adapted for radio by Randall R. McDougall. Because the Second Shepherd's Play is told to this day as an Irish folk story, we'll present it with an Irish cast. The Wakefield Nativity will be presented as nearly as possible in the original manner. And now, Great Plays takes you to the city of Chester on a Sunday in the year 1534. Throughout the city and every public square, great crowds have gathered, awaiting the rolling theaters which bring the play directly to the audience. The entire system of presentation is so arranged that by standing in one place, the people can see all 24 pageants as they pass through the town. Our modern-day parades are based on this ancient system, but there's another town crier.
Procession of Corpus Christi. Leave your battle harness at home, except those squires and knights that ought to have swords for them.
Now here comes the first wagon theater in two sections, dressing rooms on the first floor and stage on the second. It appears that the play is about to begin. Yes? Here comes the master of the pageant now.
The Second Shepherd's Play is presented by the Chandlers, Nylers, and Smiths from Erin.
Oh, my lord, but this weather is cold. And my fingers are like to drop off entirely.
It reminds me of the time Mac cut open his prize sheep and crawled in the carcass to keep himself warm.
Ah, that fellow Mac, he's a cute man, he is. I never saw such a liar in all me days, always making himself out to be a gentleman disguised as a shepherd. And always seeing things that aren't there. Like the star he said was calling him over the hills to Bedlam.
He's a peculiar man entirely. And a bit fey, I'm thinking. But the nerve of the fella. He borrows me wagon, then me plough. And I dare not say no to the man for fear of his trickery. I've not seen him today, but we'll have his company before long. Everything bad comes in threes. This weather and our poverty are one and two, and Mac will make three.
He will that.
Oh, Lord, but this weather is spiteful, and the frost full keen, and the wind so hideous the water me ain't. Ah, what a life we shepherds live. Now in wet, now in dry, now in snow, now in sleet, with our shoes frizz fast to our feet.
It all comes of being wedded. You marrying men stand a deal of woe, all out of fear and to hear your hen cackle, croak, groan, or cluck.
Ah, yes, you can say that, and you unmarried. Then what, may I ask, are you doing here?
The man is right for all of us being a bachelor. For my part, I've found, and me lesson is learned,
that when a man is wed, that man is bound. Some men will have two wives and some will have three, and sure, some are sad that they haven't any. But young men that go wooing, be well aware of wedding and think in your thoughts. Had I known is a thing that means naught once the knot's tied and the ring has been bought. For you may catch in an hour what shall serve your full sour the rest of your life.
Aye, aye. As I can read my name, I have such a wife. As sharp as a thistle, as rough as a briar, and browed like a thistle with foul Lenten cheer. Let her once wet her whistle, and she sings full clear, enough to startle the pigs a county away. Oh, by him that died for us all, I would I had run till I'd lost her. Ah, well, there's no crying when the milk is spilled entirely. Let's have a song for ourselves. I'll sing the tenor.
And it's me who sing the treble.
All right, then, the tune falls to me. Let's see how you can chant.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we are gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay.
Listen, it sounds like McNeil. I hear him below there, over the lee. Stand still, all of you.
Why?
Because I'm hoping he'll not come by this way.
Oh, he'll make a tremendous life for us if we don't beware the man, be dad.
Hey, he's seen us. He comes.
Merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Oh, there never was since Noah's time such flood seen. Winds and rains so rude and storms so keen. These floods, so they drown, both in fields and in town, they bear all down, and that is a wonder. We that walks in the night our sheep for to keep, we see sudden sights when other men sleep. Thy will, my lord, be done, were it a blanket of thorns. Ah, but would God I were in heaven, for there weep no bairns so still. Ah, sirs, wait, God save you all here. A drink I would have, and somewhat to dine.
Well, well, you knave, you are a lazy hind.
He's putting on a bit of a show for us, mind him talk.
Such servants as I, that sweat and swink, eat our bread dry, and try not to think. We are oft wet and weary when master does wink. Yet we do his bidding without eatments or drink. But both our dame and our sire, when we have run in the mire, they can nip at our hire and pay us but little for the work all done. But hear me truth, you gentlemen. For the wages I make, I shall work as I take and no more.
Now, this is an awful condition for a man to be in. Are you drunk entirely, McNeil? Or is your brain addled that you talk to us as though we were gentlemen? Why do you moan so loud?
Oh, would God you knew how I fare. See me, a man that walks on the moor and has not all his mind.
Ah, come on now, Mike, and tell us where you've been. Tell us some of them fancy lies you're noted for.
Meanwhile, I'll put away all our things out of reach of harm and McNeil's light fingers.
That's right.
Well, if you expect a man to steal, what can he gain by not stealing? But enough now, I'll play me part for you. Oh, what is this stench?
Why, sir, we are humble shepherds. Who are you, sir, your grace?
I am a yeoman. I am a yeoman, I tell you, of the king. The self and same, sent here by a great lordling. Fie on you, smelly shepherds. Get you hence, out of me presence. I must have reverence.
Hey, now, you have no right to make so quaint and free with the gentry, Mac. It's wrong of you.
Well, it doesn't take any hair off the dog to go calling him names, but I'll stop to please you. Well, how are you, boys?
It's fine, we are. And yourself?
Oh, I could complain a trifle if I was a mind to, but I'm not.
What are you doing out so late, Mac? What with your name for light fingers and a fondness for eating sheep? It's a bit disquieting to see you walking on the sheep meadows after sundown.
Oh, now, that's a cruel thing to say. Myself, I cannot sleep at night for the pain in my stomach. And I thought a walk in the cool of the evening would ease me aches.
Oh, the cool of the evening. My fingers are like to drop off from the cool of the evening.
Well, to be honest with you, boys, I'm out to pick up a rabbit or two unbeknownst to the landlord. I haven't eaten a little bit this week and more.
Ah, hunger. Seldom lies that divil dead by the gate.
Well, Mac, it's sorry I am for you. How fares your wife? How is she?
She lies by the fire in comfort. Aye, and she drinks well, too, and eats as fast as she can. And each year that comes to man, she hands me another child. Some years, too, until the house is overflowing with me brood. Were I not a rapid mind, I were eaten out of house long since. Yet she has a foul tongue if I come too near home at times. There is none that knows a worse wife than know I.
Misery, misery, all the waking hours. Well, I think the only cure is a bit of sleep.
Sleep? Are you mad? To sleep with McNeil around the sheep? Stay awake, man. Man, stay awake.
No, not I, for I must sleep truly, and that's no lie.
Well, I feel in need of a bit of sleep myself. This cold air makes a man drowsy. It does that entirely.
Well, all right, then. I'll sleep a bit myself.
You do that. Meantime, I'll watch the sheep for you.
Oh, no, you don't. I'll watch you for the sheep. Come hither, Mac, and sleep with us. Between us you shall lie, and mind you, I'll wake if you stir an inch.
All right, then. I'll lie here betwixt the three of you, and you need have no fear. Just close your eyes and take a bit of a nap.
Light fingers. Have to watch the man. Sheep. Sheep.
Ah, McNeil. They're all asleep. And being shepherds, there's no need for them to go on counting their sheep. Well, now, what's in me mind that I'm wide awake? If I were a man to steal, now would be the time to do it. Oh, what's this I'm thinking of? Oh, that's an awful thing that's in me mind. Oh, it makes me uneasy. Oh, the very thought of stealing a sheep would make me toss and turn in me sleep and disturb the rest of these poor shepherds. Well, I'd better get up and go somewheres else where I can't annoy them. Ah, no. Well, will you look where my feet have brung me? Oh, no, isn't that a pretty sheep there? What am I doing? What are me hands clutching this animal for? Oh, am I going to steal this sheep? Oh, McNeil, you're a wicked man. Oh, I am that. Oh, I've gone and stolen a sheep. Oh, no, what'll I do? Oh, that's a problem. Oh, I'd better go home with the sheep and ask me wife what I should do.
Now, Jill, now, me pretty wife. Are you at home to your husband, dear, the good provider that he is? Show us some light. Jill!
And who makes such a din at this time of the night? Oh, it's you, is it?
Oh, now, Jill, be kind to me. Do you not see what I've brung you?
Come in, my sweetie. Oh, by your naked neck, McNeil, you're like to hang for this if I catch you.
Ah, now go along. I'm worthy of my meat, for in a needy time, I can get more than they that strain and sweat all the long day, and with a deal less effort.
Oh, 'twere a foul thing to be hanged for this day's effort. Put the thing down, Mac. Oh, what's to become of us?
Now, there's nothing to fear. Oh. I've escaped the sheep wardens many times afore this.
Ah, but so long the pot goes to water, man says. At last it comes home broken.
Well, I know that token, but never let it be spoken. Now, come now. Help me hold this creature fast. Why, if he was skinned. Oh, I wager I'd eat for 12 months was I not so fond of sheep meat.
Oh, wait a bit. If you murder the creature, the wardens will hear his bleating.
Oh, you're right. Well, then I'd be taken sure. Oh, that were a cold sweat.
Aye.
Go bar the gate door.
Oh, yes, Mac. Or else they'll be on your neck for sure. Hist! An idea has just struck me on the head. Let me hide myself and the sheep in my bed.
Ah, what a head you've got on them shoulders of yon woman. Here now, we'll tie the critter up and dress it in Pat's swaddling gown and put it in the cradle. So, now we'll call it our own young'un, eh?
Ah, now that's a fine disguise entirely, and I care never who spies.
Well, now, I'd best be back to my bed with the shepherds. If they wake and find me gone, there'll be the devil to pay.
Judas, my foot's asleep yet. Wake up there, you lazy limb. Oh, my, what a thing. I can't even get permission from my legs to stand up on them.
Oh, Lord, how I've slept well. I'm as fresh as an eel, as light, I may fear, as a leaf in the tree.
My head quakes like a bog light. One of them little dancing fairies is tickling the back of my eyeballs. Hey, up. Hey, where's Mac? Has he been seen lately?
A quiet man. There he lays the side of you.
That's a blessing. I dreamt to him that he stole away one of our sheep while we were sleeping.
Be still, will you, man? Insulting the fella while he lies in honest slumber.
Then I'll wake him up and do it.
Rise up, McNeil. You've been lying too long. Rise up, man. Rise!
What? Oh, what a dream I had. Oh, I thought my wife Jill was giving birth to another young laddie. Ah, my head. Oh, a house full of young stomachs. The devil knocked their brains in. Woe is he that has many children and little bread. But now I must go home and see that nothing has happened to me little woman. I beg you, sirs, look about me person and make sure that I've stolen nothing. It's sorry I'd be to cause you any grief or trouble by taking aught that belongs to you.
Go along with you, man, and good luck to you. We trust you entirely for all our talk. Get home with you and see to your wife.
Thank you, boy.
Hey, Jill! Jill! Will you not open the door to me now?
Oh, who is it will disturb the never-ending work of a poor young married woman?
Well, will you listen to her carrying on now? You'd think she did something in the house besides lie around all day and keep her toesies warm in the heat of the hearth.
Oh, is that so? It's lazy I am, eh? Who wanders, who wakes, who comes, who goes, who brews, who bakes, who makes me this house? And then it is Ruth to behold, now in hot, then in cold, who works till she's old.
Peace, woman, peace to your tongue.
Oh, poor woeful is the household that wants a woman. Well, Mac, and what happened twixt you and the shepherds?
But the last word they said, when I turned me back, was that they trusted me. Girl, it hurts me to treat them so.
Your hurt will be cured when you taste of the sheep. Now come indoors with you.
Well, now give me your ear, Jill. The blessed minute they miss this sheep, they'll be down upon us. Is the creature still safe in the cradle?
It is that. And let them come and try to take me kid from me. Ooh, that might be them now. Ooh, help me into my bed now. Oh! Quick, man. There, that's fine. Now open the door to them.
Will you open the door to it? Who is it that spoke as if it were broad noon instead of the middle of the night? Who is it, I say? Marauders and thieves come to rob an honest man?
It's the shepherd lads, and well you know it, Max.
Well, what are you in town this day? Well, how are you, lads? This is a fine honor, this is. Well, come in now and sit before the fire and warm the hands of you. If I hadn't so many children, I could offer you a bit to eat and to drink.
It's not eating and drinking that'll make us feel better, McNeil.
Why, sirs, does anything ail yous but good?
One of our prize sheep has been stolen away.
What? Has it now?
It has.
Oh, the brute that did such a thing. Had I only been there, I'd have fetched him a clout.
We're after thinking that you were there, McNeil.
Oh. Mac, we'll be frank with you.
Aye.
We have cause to think that it was you who lifted the creature.
Aye, either you or your wife.
Oh, sirs. Accuse me all you will, and I'll be the very first to deny. But don't sully the good name of me wife.
Well, no, I...
Now, look here. I'll tell you what we do. Search the house. Search the house entirely. And if you find a sheep, I'll eat me child out of its cradle over there.
Oh, I'm dying. Oh. That I am. What is it, husband dear? What's all the commotion? Are there thieves in the house?
Do you hear how she groans? It tears me heart to hear her.
Well, no, boy Eanes, it's thinking I am that we've made a mistake.
Hey, there's no sign of a sheep, dead or alive, in this house. It requires little looking to search the whole of it.
Well, we may as well go, boys. Perhaps the creature's lost on the move.
What was that?
That's the wee lad in his cradle. His throat is troubling him.
A throat like that would trouble anyone. How old is the child?
Just born this very night.
Oh, that's luck in the house. Let me give the little fella a sixpence.
Nay, go away. He sleeps.
I think he weeps.
When he wakens, he weeps. I beg you to go along now.
Well, then, if I can't give him a birth gift, give me leave to kiss him and lift up the covers.
No,
no.
What the devil is this? He's a long snout for a child.
Aye, and them are bad markings for a human, them ears and all.
You know, boys, it strikes me that McNeil's child bears more than a passing resemblance to our sheep.
I tell you, boys, it's just the way the laddie looks. His nose was broken in a fight. That's why it looks so big.
A lad that size fighting. You shouldn't allow it, McNeil.
Oh, it's a pretty child, that. Just sit in his mother's knees.
Well, be careful when you rock your child, madam, or he'll butt you with the horns on him.
Horns?
Horns?
Oh, horns, is it? Well, he was taken by an elf.
Aye, I saw it myself.
When the clock struck 12.
A little pixie flew down the chimney and put horns on the poor little fella. Oh, look out now. He's getting loose.
That's the creature. That's
the creature. And the wife. She's stuck into her legs.
That's odd. Usually, the second shepherd's play ends with the three men going to Bedlam near Jerusalem, where they attend the birth of the holy infant. Today, as you've just heard, the play ends with the finding of the sheep. But here comes the master of the pageant. Perhaps he'll explain to the audience.
Our people of Chester! Stop the knocking on it! Stop it, I say! Good people of Chester! We have cut short the shepherd's play in order to bring you the Coventry Nativity play, borrowed from that good town for this occasion, and played by the candle makers and barbers of Chester. Pray give strict attention.
Well, that explains it very nicely. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, the NBC Great Plays series has taken you to the city of Chester, England, in the year 1534. So that you may hear performances of two nativity plays. But there's the next rolling theater, and the curtain is about to go up on the Coventry nativity play.
Above all women that ever was, Lady, blessed may thou be.
Almighty Father and King of bliss, from all phantoms save me now, for inwardly my spirit troubled is. I'm amazed and know not how.
Dead thee nothing, maiden, of this. From heaven above hither am I sent, the second person of God on throne. He will be born of thee alone.
I marvel sore how that may be. Man's company knew I never yet, nor never to do so shall I, while that our Lord sendeth me my wit.
This child that of thee shall be born is the second person in Trinity. He shall save that was forlorn, and the fiend's power destroy shall he. These words, lady, full true they be, And further, lady, in thine own lineage, behold Elizabeth, thy cousin clean, the which was barren and past all age, and now with child she hath been 6 months and more, as shall be seen. Wherefore, discomfort thee not, Mary, for to God impossible nothing may be.
Now, and it be that Lord's will of my body to be born and for to be, his high pleasure for to fulfill, as his one handmaid I submit me.
Now blessed be the time set that thou wast born in thy degree, for now is the knot surely knit, and God conceived in Trinity. Unto the Godhead I thee commit.
That Lord thee guide in every side, and lowly he lead me and be my guide.
Mary, my wife so dear, how do ye, dame, and what cheer is with you this tide?
Truly, husband, I am here our Lord's will for to abide.
What? I trow we be all spent. Say, woman, who hath been here since I went to rage with thee?
Sir, here was neither man nor man's even, but only the Son of our God in heaven.
Say not so, woman, for shame let be. Ye be with child so wondrous great, ye need no more thereof to treat. Against all right, forsooth, this child, dame, is not mine. Alas, that ever with mine eyen I should see this sight. Tell me, woman, whose is this child?
None but yours, husband, so mild, and that shall be seen, I wis.
But mine, alas, alas, why say ye so? Well, away, woman, now may I go, beguiled as many another is.
Nay, truly, sir, you be not beguiled, nor yet with spot of sin I am not defiled. Trust it well, husband.
Husband, in faith, and that a cold. Ah, well, away, Joseph, as thou art old. Like a fool now may I stand. All old men example take by me. How I am beguiled here, may you see, to wed so young a child. Now farewell, Mary. I leave thee here alone. Woe worth thee, dame, and thy works each one.
Arise up, Joseph, and go home again, with Mary, thy wife that is so free. To comfort her thou must take pain, for Joseph, a clean maiden is she. She hath conceived without a stain, the second person in Trinity. Jesu shall be his name and his divinity.
Now, Lord, I thank thee with heart full sad. For of these tidings I am so glad that all my care away is cast. Wherefore to Mary I plead full fast. Ah, Mary, Mary, I kneel full low. Forgive me, sweet wife, here in this land. Mercy, Mary, for now I know of your good governance and how it doth stand.
Now that Lord in heaven, sir, ye you forgive. And I do forgive you in his name forevermore.
Now truly, sweet wife, to you I say the same. But not now to Bethlehem must I wind and show myself so full of care because I leave you here behind. God wot the wild dame how you should fare.
Nay, orderly husband, dread ye nothing, for I will walk with you on the way. I trust in God, Almighty King, to speed right well in our journey.
Now I thank you, Mary, of your goodness, that you my words will not blame. And since that to Bethlehem we shall us address, go we together in God's holy name.
Oh,
Now to Bethlehem have we leagues three. The day is nigh spent, it draweth towards night. Fain at your ease, dame, I would that ye should be. For you grow all weary, it seemeth, in my sight.
God have mercy, Joseph, my spouse so dear. All prophets here too do bear witness that the time now draweth near when my child will be born, which is king of bliss. Unto some place Joseph kindly may lead, that I might rest me with grace in this tide. The light of the Father over us both spread, and the grace of my Son with us here abide.
Lo, blessed Mary, here shall ye spend, chief chosen of our Lord, and cleanest in degree. And I for help to town will I wend. Is not this the best, dame? What say ye?
God have mercy, Joseph, my husband so meek. And I heartily pray you go now from me.
That shall be done in haste, Mary so sweet. The comfort of the Holy Ghost leave I with thee. Now to Bethlehem straight will I go, to get some help for Mary so free. Some help of women God may me send, that Mary full of grace pleased may be.
Shepherds, look up and behold. Hey, what thing is yonder that shineth so bright? As long as ever I have watched my fold, yet saw I never such a sight in field. Oh, now is come the time that old fathers hath told, that in the winter's night so cold a child of maiden born be he would, ere no more prophecies shall be fulfilled.
Truth is without nay. So said the prophet, I say, that a child should be born of a maid so bright, in winter nigh the shortest day, or else in the midst of the night.
Loved be God, most of might, that our grace is to see that sight. Pray we to him, as it is right, if that is will it be, that we may have knowledge of the signification, and why it appeareth on this fashion. And ever to him let us give laudation on earth while that we be.
Hark! They sing above in the clouds clear. Heard I never of so merry a choir. Now, gentle brother, draw we near to hear their harmony.
Brother, mirth and solace is come as among, for by the sweetness of their song, God's Son is come, whom we have looked for long, as signifieth this star we do see. That is well said. Now go we hence to worship that child of high magnificence.
Child is born that is king of bliss.
Now welcome to me, the maker of man. With all the homage that I can, thy sweet mother here will I kiss.
Ah, Joseph, husband, my child waxeth cold, and we have no fire to warm him with.
Now in my arms I shall him fold, king of all kings by field and by frith. He might have had better, and himself would, than the breathing of these beasts to warm him with.
Now, Joseph, my husband, fetch hither my child, the maker of man, and I king of bliss.
That shall be done, anon, Mary so mild, for the breathing of these beasts hath formed in my wis. What's this?
We three mountain shepherds, we come for the only child to see. Ail made mother and wife so mild, as the angel said, so have we found. I have nothing to present thy child, but my pipe, old, old. Take it in thy hand, wherein much pleasure I have found. And now to honor thy glorious birth, thou shalt have it to make thee mirth.
Now, hail be thou, child, and thy dame, for in a poor lodging here art thou laid. So the angel said, and told us thy name. Hold, take thou here my hat on thy head. And now of one thing art thou well sped, for weather thou hast no cause to complain, for wind, nor sun, hail, snow, and rain.
Hail, be thou lord over water and lands, for thy coming all we may make mirth. I've here my mittens to put on thy hands. Other treasure have I none to present thee with.
Now, herdsman kind, for your coming, to my child shall I pray, as he is heaven's king, to grant you his blessing, and to his bliss that ye may come at your last day.
Novelis, novelis of wonderful marvelis, were high and sweet unto the hearing. As scripture telleth, these strange novelis to you I bring.
Now heartily, sir, I desire to know, if it would please you for to show of what a manner a thing.
Were it mystical unto your hearing, of the nativity of a king?
Of a king? When should he come?
From that region royal and mighty mansion, the seed celestial and heavenly wisdom, the second person, and God's one Son, for our sake is man become. This godly sphere descended here into a virgin clear. She undefiled, by whose work obscure, our frail nature is now beguiled.
Why, hath she a child?
Eh, trust it well. And nevertheless, yet is she a maid, even as she was. And her son, the King of Israel.
A wonderful marvel. How that may be, and far doth excel all our capacity. How that the Trinity of so high regality should join it be unto our mortality.
Of his one great mercy, as ye shall see the exposition, through whose humanity all Adam's progeny redeemed shall be out of perdition.
Yet I beseech you heartily that you would show me how that this strange novelty were brought unto you.
This other night so cold, hereby upon a wall, shepherds watching their fold in the night so far, to them appeared a star, and ever it drew them near. Which star they did behold, brighter, they say, a thousandfold than the sun so clear in his midday sphere. And they these tidings told.
Yet do I marvel in what pile or castle these herdsmen did him see.
Neither in halls, nor yet in bowers, born would he not be. Neither in castles, nor yet in towers, that seemly were to see. But at his father's will, the prophecy to fulfill, betwixt an ox and an ass, Jesu this king born he was, heaven he brings us still.
Sir, but when the shepherds had seen him there, to what place did they repair?
Forth they went, and glad they were. Going they did sing. With mirth and solace they made good cheer, for joy of this new tiding.
How surely is this a wondrous thing, but I fear 'twill madden Herod the king.
Eh, I fear it will so, when he once does know. Hark, who comes?
Peace, Lord Barons of great renown. Peace, Sir Knights of noble presence. Peace, gentlemen companions of noble order. I command that all of you keep silence. Your noble King Herod comes in presence.
Christ status in Judy, it Rex Israel, and the mightiest conqueror that ever walked on ground. For I am even he that made both heaven and hell, and of my mighty power holdeth up this world round. Magog and Madroc, both them did I confound. And with this bright brand their bones I break asunder, for all the whole Orient is under mine obedience. And prince am I of purgatory, and chief captain of hell. And those tyrannous traitors by force may I compel mine enemies to vanquish, and even to dust to drive. And with a twinkle of mine eye, not one to be left alive. And therefore, my herald here, called Calchas, warn thou every port, let no ships arrive, nor also alien stranger through my realm pass. But they for their tribute do pay marks fine. Now speed thee forth hastily, for they that will the contrary upon a gallows hanged shall be.
Hail, Lord, most of might, thy commandment is right. Into thy land is come this night three kings, and with them a great company.
What make those kings in this country?
To seek a king and a child, they say.
Of what age should he be?
Scant 12 days old, fully.
And was he so newborn?
Eh, sir. So they showed me this same day in the morn.
Now, in pain of death, bring them me before. And therefore, herald, hie thee now in haste, in all speed that thou wert dight, or that those kings the country be passed. Look, thou bring them all three before my sight, and in Jerusalem inquire more of that child. But I warn thee that thy words be mild, for there take thou heed and craft thereto, that those three kings shall be beguiled.
Lord, I go to do your bidding.
Blessed be God of his sweet song, for yonder a bright star I do see. Now is he come us among, as the prophet said that it should be. He said there should a babe be born to save mankind that was forlorn, and truly come now is he. He grants me grace by yonder star that I see, and into that place brings me, that I may him worship with humility and see his glorious face.
Yonder, methinks, a fair bright star I see, the which betokeneth the birth of a child, that hither is come to make men free, he born of a maid, and she nothing defiled. To worship that child is mine intent. Forth now will I take my way. I trust some company God hath me sent, for yonder I see a king labor on the way. Toward him now will I ride. Hark, comely king, Are you, pray, into what coast will ye this tide, or whither lies your journey?
To seek a child is mine intent, of whom the prophets have meant. The time is come, now is he sent. By yonder star here may you see.
Sir, I pray you, with your license, to ride with you into his presence. To him will I offer frankincense, for the head of the whole church shall he be.
I ride wandering in ways wide over mountains and dales. I wot not where I am. Now, King of all kings, send me such guide that I may have knowledge of this country's name. Yonder I see a sight beseeming all afar, the which betokens some news, as I trow, as methinks a child appearing in a star. I trust he become that shall defend us from woe. Two kings yonder I see, and to them will I ride, for to have their company. I trust they will me abide. Hail, comely kings or gent. Good sirs, I pray you, whither are ye bent?
To seek a child is our intent, which betokens yonder star, as ye may see.
To him I purpose this present.
Sir, I pray you, and that right humbly with you, that I may ride in company. To Almighty God now pray we, that his precious person we may see. But look, there comes a messenger to me.
Hail, sir kings, in your degree. Herod, king of these countries wide, desireth to speak with you all three, and for your coming he doth abide.
Sir, at his will we be right pleased. Hie us, brother, unto that Lord's place. To speak with him we would be eased. That child that we seek, he grant us of his grace.
Without peer, these three kings have we brought.
Sir kings, as I understand, a star hath guided you into my land by reason of her beams bright. Wherefore, I pray you heartily the very truth that you would certify. How long it is, surely, since of that star you had first sight.
Sir king, the very truth we say. And to show you as it is best, this same is even the 12th day since it appeared to us to be west.
Brother, then is there no more to say. But with heart and will, keep ye your journey, and come home again this same way of your news that I may know. You shall triumph in this country, and with great concord banquet with me, and that child myself then will I see. And honor him also.
Sir, your commandment we will fulfill, and humbly obey ourselves thereto, he that weldeth all things at will, the ready way us teach. Sir King, that we may pass your land in peace.
Yea, and walk softly, even at your own ease. Your passport for 100 days, here shall you have of clear command.
Now farewell, king of high degree. Humbly of you our leave we take.
Then adieu, sir kings, all three. And while I live, be bold of me. There is nothing in this country, but for your own ye shall it take. Farewell, great kings.
Farewell, great kings.
Now these three kings are gone on their way. Unwisely and unwittingly have they all wrought. When they come again, they shall die that same day. And thus these vile wretches to death shall be brought. Such is my liking. He that against my laws will hold, be he king or kaiser never so bold, I shall them cast into Kari's cold. And to death I shall them bring.
Silent night, holy night, holy sound, holy sound,
blessed God, much is thy might. Where is this star that gave us light?
Yonder, brother, I see the star, whereby I know he is not far. Therefore, lords, go we now into this poor place. Hail, God and man together in fear, for thou hast made all things of naught, albeit that thou liest poorly here. A cup full of gold here I have thee brought, in tokening thou art without peer.
Hail be thou, Lord of high magnificence, in tokening of priesthood and dignity of office, to thee I offer a cup full of incense, for it behoveth thee to have such sacrifice.
Hail be thou, Lord, long looked for. I have brought thee myrrh for mortality. In tokening those shall mankind restore to life by thy death upon a tree.
God have mercy, kings, of your goodness. By the guiding of the Godhead, hither are ye sent. The provision of my sweet son, your ways whom redress. And ghostly reward you for your present.
Sir kings, after our promise, home by Herod, I must needs go.
Now truly, brother, we can no less. But I am so far watched, I wot not what to do.
Right so am I. Wherefore I you pray, let all us rest us a while upon this ground.
Brother, your saying is right well unto my pay. The grace of that sweet child save us all sound.
King of Taurus, Sir Jasper. King of Araby, Sir Balthazar. Melchior, King of Aginara.
And an angel speaks to us.
To you now am I sent. For dread of Herod, go you west home. In those parts, when ye come down, ye shall be buried with great renown. The Holy Ghost this knowledge hath sent.
Awake, Sir Kings, I you pray. For the voice of an angel I heard in my dream.
That is full true that they do say, for he rehearsed our names plain.
He bade that we should go down by west, for dread of Herod's false betray.
So for to do it is the best. The child that we have sought, guide us the way. Now farewell the fairest of shapes so sweet, and thanked be Jesus of his hand, that we three together so suddenly should meet, that dwell so wide and in a strange land, and here to make our presentation.
Now farewell, Sir Jasper. Brother, to you, King of Taurus, the most worth St. Balthazar, also to you I bow, and I thank you both of your good company, while we together have been. He that made us to meet on hill, I thank him now and ever I will, for now may we go without ill, and of our offering be full fain.
Now, sith that we must needly go, for dread of Herod that is so wroth. Now farewell, brother, and brother also. I take my leave here of you both, this day on foot.
Look, again the starry light, signaling an angel from the height.
Mary and Joseph, to you I say, sweet word from the Father, I bring you full right. Out of Bethlehem into Egypt, forth go ye the way, and with you take the king full of might, for dread of Herod's fright.
Rise up, Mary, hastily and soon. Our Lord's will needs must be done, like as the angel bade.
Meekly, Joseph, mine own spouse, toward that country let us repair. In Egypt some token of house. God grant us grace, safe to come there.
have just heard, ladies and gentlemen, two of the famous nativity plays of Chester, England. The Second Shepherd's Play and the Wakefield Nativity Play, adapted for Great Plays series by Randall R. McDougall. The cast today included William S. Rainey, Elliot Reed, Sherita Bauer, Alfred Shirley, Kingsley Colton, Stanley Harrison, Burford Hampton, Ian Martin, J. Malcolm Dunn, William Shelley, Ian McAllister, Sean Dillon, Vincent Donahue, and Mary Michael. A Great Plays drama guide by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series, is available to our radio audience at the cost of 25 cents. Send coin or money order to Great Plays, the National Broadcasting Company, New York City. The Great Plays drama guide contains a summary of the plot, sketch of the author's life, and pertinent facts about each of the 30 plays in the series. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining Great Plays in this series. This program has been presented as a public service by the National Broadcasting Company and the independent radio stations associated with the NBC networks, and came to you from the RCA Building, Radio City, New York.